turned to mostly noise again. Okay, Howie, I'll talk to you on the phone. Okay, if that's what you're looking for, see if you can get some information, that readable information that you can understand, you know, something that would be audio-wise, I'm sure, on product of radio works, Howie, over.
Yeah, Roger, am I noisy? Because we doubled. Can you hear me okay now? Yeah, radio works. I'm going to go check it out. Maybe I'll give them a call and see if they have anything like that.
They're very nice to talk to. Give Radio Works a call. Tell them what you want to do, and I guarantee you they'll have a product like that, because they are basically very involved with people that want to put together, you know, all kinds of antenna configurations of their own. In other words, homebrewing for an awful fraction of the cost of what these things are going for. Over.
Yeah, $389 is a lot of money, but it's not what I want. It sounds like there's a multi-band antenna. I think we spoke on the phone. I'm looking for something where I can adjust it to an exact frequency, mount it on a pole, and make it work that way. Something with an SO239. I know that there are some things, they have some stuff out there that you can make a dipole for hamsticks that use 3/8 thread. All right, Mel, let me get out of here. I'll speak to you later on, maybe before you're doing the work. I'm going to go right now and look on the Internet. I'm going to go to Radio Works. See what Radio Works. I'll type in Radio Works. Hopefully, I'll come up with the telephone number.
Okay, if you need any further information on it, I believe I have a catalog on Radio Works catalog. So see what you can find out, and we can discuss it during the week, Howie. Take care. Have a nice week.
You too. Have a great Memorial Day. WD2HWW.
Okay. Take care, Holly.
87DAW listening.
Go ahead, Sue.
The time is 12:13 a.m.
Yeah, I was just listening here for just a little bit. I didn't get on as early as I hoped I would. Name is Tom here. I'm in Port St. Lucie, Florida. I'm originally from Long Island, and I'm running EchoLink here.
Okay, Tom. Yeah, I copy you very good through EchoLink. We're in Brooklyn, New York. Over.
Hey, okay, Roger on that, on the Brooklyn. Yep. I heard Howie out there. Did he sign, or is he still out there?
I think, Howie, are you still on frequency? Howie signed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, very good. Right, I really haven't been listening every week to the TechNet, but it sounds like something that I would enjoy listening to, that's for sure.
Okay, yeah, Roger, we have very interesting subjects here, and it goes for usually 4 hours, and so seems to be no end of discussions that we haven't tackled, and seems like it's going to go on indefinitely. Over.
KB2HZE via remote.
Yeah, okay, very good there. I'm going to let KB2HZE by remote pick it up there. This is KD7DAW, go ahead.
All right, now just wanted to say hi to you, KD7DAW. I heard you coming through. Yeah, we were just listening to the TechNet. I'm here with the Worldwide DXLink. I got 17 stations that have been connected for the whole 4 hours and a half. Oh, no, 4 hours and like 10 minutes. And I know I just want to say hello to everyone and we're on the side listening, but I'll pass it back to you and you can continue. But I did hear you on the EchoLink side. I'm also in the Maya EchoLink, but I also have the remote base, honey. Back to you, KB7DAW, KB2HZE and the group.
All right, KB2HZE and the group, KB7DAW. Yeah, a while back I think I talked to you on the Worldwide Net. But somehow it got taken out of my computer and I didn't know how to get it back. So I just go into the note types and find it that way because I believe it was you I spoke to. I don't know if your name is Mike or, but anyway, my name is Tom. And I believe I did talk to you on the World Wide Net a while back. I'll just do a quick overview, and then we'll send it back over to the people on the repeater here. KD7DAW.
All right, KD7DAW. Yeah, just connect to KB2HZE-L. I am running three nodes. I'm running dash L, dash R, and single user, but dash L is the main conference server. And, yeah, right now you got 16, 17 stations here. All right, back to you.
Okay, sounds good. All right, thank you very much for the info. I do appreciate it here. I'll go ahead and put that in my favorites here on Echolink. KD7DAW, back over to, I don't know if it's still net control or whoever is out there on the repeater. Go ahead.
This is K2KDY, assistant net control. All right, guys, thank you very much for joining us. Keep listening. I'm sure if you have any kind of information that you'd like to convey, we could always pick up on it or send us an email. And we appreciate your support. Set 73 and have a great Memorial Day. This is K2KEY. Take care, everyone.
K2KEY, K2YO.
Hey, go ahead, Bernie.
Mel, just real quick before you leave, Tom's being a bit modest, KB2HZE. He's the gentleman that's bringing us all the international contacts. The people that I read off earlier that were international are coming to his link. So he's being kind of modest tonight. He's the gentleman up in the Bronx that's running the network that's bringing people from all over the world in. So yeah, I just wanted to make sure you, he was introduced to you and you to him, and he's been good to us. So just wanted to make sure you knew who he was, K2YO.
Yeah, really, thank you very much. Yeah, it's really a team effort, this TechNet. I know Dick and myself, we try to put as much effort into making it interesting and cover a myriad of subjects and in depth, but it also takes people that do things like expand it so that many people throughout the country and the world can also enjoy it and take advantage of it. And also we do, you know, have the people that are involved in amateurradio.tv that are recording all this information and making it available through the internet. So everybody, is, like I say, it's not our TechNet, it's ours, everybody's TechNet. This is the bottom line. It's everyone's TechNet that is involved with it, whether it be the people that are supplying the technical background or the people that are supplying the support, Bernie, over.
Oh, I understand, but you and Dick are the talent. Without you guys, a bunch of us would be sitting around going, I don't know what the answer is. Does anybody else know? So we value you and Dick as being the talent of the network. Anyway, you were headed off. I just wanted to make that quick introduction. K2YO.
All right,
K2YO,
and we'll do it again next week.
Auto connecting. Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system. Node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1711, with the release date of Friday, May 28, 2010, the following 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QSC. Ham Radio heads to the planet Venus aboard Unitech 1, but for the moment the signal has faded away. Also, the first ever U.S. license tests are held in India, and lots more on Hamvention 2010. Enjoy being there with us on Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1711, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now from Charleston, West Virginia, with Jim Dameron, NATNW. I'm Jeff Clark, K8JAC. Unitech 1 space probe is on its way to Venus, and Ham Radio's along for the ride. But the ham radio transponder on board the spacecraft hasn't been heard from in several days. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, is in the newsroom with more.
Unitech 1 is a one-of-a-kind experimental satellite that was developed by 20 educational institutions that are part of Japan's university space.
K2IO, KU2,
yeah. K2IO here.
Yeah, I just rewrote the thing that gave us trouble last week. I think that it works, so I think that's going to solve the problem.
Okay, that was the People Key and Two Vast Cover news line?
Yeah, well, I made it so nobody can step on it. The receiver won't come back online until after it finishes doing everything.
Okay, very good. Is there any way that we can get, when we use the brake feature on Echolink, that we can get more volume?
Yeah, I got to change it. Actually, not, I raised it somewhat, but I have to change the resistor on the void. I mean, it's loud enough. I mean, Dick heard it finally. He was listening.
Okay, from Echolink, we can't hear it, so we have no sense of how loud it is or not. I'd say Dick was about 50% tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all how much attention he pays to it.
I understand 50% is a whole lot better than 0%, so we're making good progress.
Yeah. Well, next time I go up to Glen Oaks, I'll put another resistor in parallel with it, it'll raise it somewhat.
Okay. Are we still having the dropout problem in Selden?
Yeah, I haven't gotten out there yet. I might actually be able to do it tomorrow.
Okay, no problem. I'm just trying to... I've been kind of out of the loop for a while, so just trying to figure out where we stand again.
Yeah, what I really should do is put in for gas, because, you know, it's 60 miles away. With all the trips that I've made, I've spent a lot of money on gas.
I understand. In fact, that reminds me I need to do billing this week, this week anyway.
Yeah. Well, I have to check your program. Because every now and then I hear that the Echolink linking is actually shut off, and I think we should, I don't know. I think it's the result of panic.
Saying Echolink or IRLC?
Echolink.
Okay, I've never heard of Echolink being shut off, but I'll keep an eye out for it.
Yeah, well, I get an email every time somebody pushes a button, but there were so many of them sometimes that, the last one that I saw had just about every button pushed.
I understand, but it's pretty close to every button clicked.
You know what I'm talking about. You get it, too. You've seen that one.
Now, I understand. Every now and then I'll look up and go, holy cow, what's that?
Yeah, the mirror clogs up the mailbox.
Now, you have to remember, I get about 30 to 40 emails every morning from the overnight shift of all the customer reports that I've got running in email. So, I'm used to just seeing these giant blobs of stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why I had you send it to the ham radio mailbox, so that way it doesn't bother me with all the other garbage that I get.
I understand.
Did you ever get your IRL people?
Negative, it's somewhere in the to-do list. It's sitting in the middle of my desk, so that'll help raise this priority because it's in the way.
Oh, but you actually have it.
Yes, affirmative. I've got the hardware from Canada. I've got the actually sent it disk.
KD7DAW.
And I've actually got a computer, so we should be pretty close.
Hello, KD7DAW.
Yeah, good morning. KD7DAW. This thing works. I type in something and it lets me in. I like that.
Yeah, it's actually quite loud, but then again, nobody else is talking at the same time, so, you know. It's full volume when nobody else is yakking.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, real good. Yeah, I like this this link. You know, before this link was up, I was running through the one that was on loan, I guess, out there in Spelman. But this one seems to be working really nice. Had a few little glitches, I guess, a few weeks ago, but it sounds like it's working real good now.
Yeah, it seems to be working okay. Buddy, why don't you talk to him for a couple of minutes? I'm going to finish. I've got to rename the file and make it so that your button actuates it.
Okay. Well, Tom, what are you doing up this late? You're the gentleman that's Echoing Mobile down in Florida, aren't you? Or you're like the rest of us, you're playing hooky because we all have tomorrow off.
Yeah, K2YO, KD7DAW. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm playing hooky. Now I'm off tomorrow and I'm off Tuesday because this is my normal three-day weekend. I get every other weekend I get a three-day weekend. So I'm normally off tomorrow, or today I guess now, Monday. When that happens, they give us Tuesday off too. So the holiday, we don't mess the holiday up, you know, so we don't miss the holiday, so to speak. So I'm off today and tomorrow too.
Oh, very sweet. That worked out well for you. I don't know if you know Eric in your district. He's actually our repeater master. So I was talking to him before you came back on about the level of the brake command and all. So it was fortuitous that you came in and hit brake right then so he could hear what it was doing.
Hey, I figured I'd give that a try. During the picnic, somebody tried that and it seemed to work, so I wanted to give it a try. So when I give that brake command, what does it do? Announce my call sign just as if I was just signing on?
Yes, basically the mechanized voice in Echo Link speaks your call sign out over the RF link. We don't hear it here on the on Echo Link. I'm on Echo Link also, so we don't hear it, but you do hear it out through the link.
You know, I can turn the echo on so you can hear what it sounds like.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that'd be cool. I know what most of those automated voices sound like. I've got a couple of local links that I use to go from 2 meters over to Echo Link. One just came back on. He's down here in the Port St. Lucie area. His call is N4HYK. I don't know if you've ever talked to him. Maybe so, maybe no. But he knows a couple of guys in New Jersey that may be on here every once in a while. But anyway, I'm pretty familiar with that. It's a good feature. The brake feature is an excellent feature. This is the first time that I've ever heard of it. I don't know if other repeaters have it or not, but this one does, and I like it.
I'm going to say we're probably the only people that have it. It's a byproduct of Jonathan Taylor came up to our local club meeting and Eric and I cornered him with, we've got this problem, what do you think? So it's actually a separate piece of software that's running using the Echolink API. It just runs in a DOS box next to Echolink and captures the whenever the word break comes across, and then ticks Echolink and says, here, say the call sign of whoever types that.
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, code number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
IRLT,
echo
reflector.
That sounds
really good. I like that.
Nice and
clear. Some of them sound real
canny
and tinny. This
one sounds good. Yeah, now if you type a break, you'll hear it play it back for you.
K2YO. K2YO.
Tom, type break now. We're on an IRLT repeater, so you'll hear back what's happening. It's basically it's echoing back everything.
KD7DAW.
Tom, type break now. We're on an IRLT repeater, you'll hear back what's happening. It's basically it's echoing back everything.
KD7DAW. IRLT, echo reflector, link clear.
That should give you a little sense of it.
Yeah, a little bit of that's fun. After that, it becomes annoying.
Now, the way that this repeater is set up, if no one is talking on the repeater, will it announce my call sign when I connect to it?
No, we have that shut off because it's just a pain.
Yeah, I agree, because you got people like me that get on here and make a call, and if I hear nobody, I go somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, what happens is people log in, they log off, they log in, they log off. They log in, they don't say anything, they go away. It's like, it's nice to have the announcement, but it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree, and I would do the same thing if I was running a link. And the thing with the break is really good, though. I mean, I'm going to try that next time I'm on during morning drive, because I could remember listening for about 20 minutes, and I think the repeater timed out a few times. That's how fast they are, during the rush.
Yeah, well, just type the word break, and it'll announce your call. Whether somebody is smart enough to recognize that, that's another story.
Yeah, if you're waiting for a break on the morning crew, you might want to set your watch to about 1 in the afternoon. It's about when you'll finally actually hear a carrier drop.
they like to talk, that's for sure. That's good. Yeah, I listen to it a lot, too. If I'm not talking, I listen because, I hear a lot of good conversation and stuff. And I'm from Long Island originally, so I'm familiar with the topics and the locations and everything else that they talk about. So, it's a lot of fun. There's a guy that's on there that lives in the same hometown that I grew up in, and that's Bayville. And that's W2SEC. He's on in the morning. And I guess sometimes in the afternoon, too. I guess he commutes out to, Wading River or Port Jeff or somewhere like that every day.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, code number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
That was our IRLP node coming back online. That crew has actually been nicknamed the Morning Show. So in our newsletter, they'll talk about the Morning Show. Isn't that specifically what they're referring to?
Hey, Bernie, do you ever hear CW IDs or the repeater ID itself on Echolink?
I'm sorry, what was the beginning of that question? What do you want me to do?
Do you ever hear the CW ID on Echolink? Do you ever hear the thing announced, W2VL?
Negative. The whole evening tonight, I never heard the never heard the machine ID. I believe I did hear it over RF. I listened to RF and Echo Link at the same time. And to my understanding, it does not ID over Echo Link.
Good. It took me a while to figure out why it was coming through. You know, especially IRLP, you know, they get really annoyed. So I think I've got that problem solved. But if you do hear it, let me know.
Okay, no problem. Tom, who is it that you work for again? Which fault line are you with? Are you with Best Buy?
Yeah, I'm Best Buy. I do the appliance repair. I cover a pretty wide area. I'm out there, usually I leave the house here around 8 o'clock in the morning, and I don't get home until after 5 usually, which I guess is not bad hours, I guess. But they keep me pretty busy.
Well, I was very pleased. I went to my local Best Buy the other day looking for computer equipment, and I'd never really thought of them as computer equipment folks. And they had exactly what I was looking for. I was looking for a high-performance mouse like the gaming guys do, and they had all that stuff, so I was very impressed.
Yeah, Roger, on that, I was on another page here. I couldn't get back real quick. Anyway, they do pretty well with the computers and stuff. They've got some small notebooks that I'm interested in. Right now, this laptop that I use is company issue, so they allow me to use it for pretty much whatever I want to use it for, as long as it's something that doesn't violate company policy, like questionable material, stuff like that. But they have no problem with me using Echo Link and all that stuff. Especially at home, I'm on my own broadband at home, but when I use their air cards, there's no problem because all the techs have unlimited usage of that air card, so it doesn't bother anybody.
I'm just curious about what air card do you use, and do you have any problem opening up those two UDP ports?
Sure, I had to open up the UDP port and the other one, I believe, at home here on the broadband. Is I've got a broadband. Well, it's actually AT&T DSL, a high-speed DSL, and I've also got a wireless router connected to that. So, I have to every once in a while. I don't have to do anything with the router, and I don't have to do anything with the air card that they give me at all. I never did. Just plug and play, pretty much. For some reason, those ports are open or something on the card. But on the DSL modem in the house here, I had to adjust it. And also, I noticed on the wireless router, every once in a while, it will allow me to transmit on Echo Link but not receive anything, as if it's shutting down one of those ports. And all I have to do is unplug it, wait 10 seconds, and plug it back in, and I'm fine. So it's not a big deal. Just a little bit of a nuisance when I have to do that. So, KD7DAW.
KD7DAW, K2Jenny. Yeah, I have a MiFi card, which, because we have a need to run a couple of computers and make our own little hotspot. Bloody thing has a firewall in it. They won't let you pick anything from other than a few different things that it has. So the UDP ports that I want to open up, like 5198 and 99, forget about it. It just won't let you do it.
Yeah, Rob's on that. And now they got the, iPhone that works on Echo Link now. I've heard a few people on there. It sounds really good.
Yeah, I have that on my iPhone. I use that a bit. It's not as nice audio as some other things, but it works good.
Super convenient, too, you know?
Yeah, it is. And he's coming up with another app for, I think, Droid. That's the next one he's working on.
Yeah, I've got to get in touch with him one of these days. I know he would probably be interested in talking to me, because I was one of the pioneers of running Echo Link out of my car directly with a laptop and an air card. And I'm sure he had a few questions for me, but there may be more of us doing that now, but at first, about a year ago, that's how I started doing that.
Well, Jonathan's easy to get hold of. Just, you know, drop him an email. He talks. He's a pretty cool guy, actually.
Now, where's he live up in Connecticut?
Yeah. But anyway, what's his email address? Give it to him.
I don't know. Tom, do me a favor. Look up Kilo 2 Yankee Oscar on QRZ. Drop me an email and tell me you want to get in touch with Tom at Echolink. And when I get back to the house, I will send you that his address.
Okay. You said you wanted me to drop you an email. I got the call then, but where? Which email is it?
Go to QRZ, look up K2YO, and my email address is listed there.
All right, let me go there now before I forget. K7DAW, I'll be back.
While you're looking that up, I was just thinking of for the corporate IT guys, probably the least of any of their worries of what are people doing with their laptops is Echolinking. I'm thinking of all the things that people can get in trouble with on the internet with laptops. Your Echolink is probably the mildest they could ever worry about. So they're probably very pleased with you on that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they've got a list of things that they tell us not to do, mostly because of security breaches and stuff like that with information that's stored in the computers. They don't want anybody hacking in and getting access to personal information and stuff like that. And secondly, you go to some of these sites, they'll shut your computer down. They got viruses and, adware and all kinds of garbage in there, you know?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a wilder, woolier world out there now. Buddy of mine, I'm in the IT industry, and a buddy of mine's wife went to, I believe it, she said it was the Nabisco site. She was looking for a recipe. And she went there and got a virus off of the Nabisco site. And it was nothing malicious that Nabisco meant to do. Somebody had hacked part of it or somehow convinced it to accept some of its code. And it was a pain to undo. And those are the mild ones. The serious ones are the ones that basically lock your computer up, say, send us money or we just delete your files. And that's pretty scary out there.
I had one on my home computer. Wind up having to get a new hard drive and redoing the whole thing because one of those self-replicating adware viruses got in there, and it's just about it didn't get any of my information, but it made my computer useless. It lets you work for about 3 or 4 days after it infects, but after that it starts to shut down everything. You can't do anything with it.
What's actually funny from the IT perspective is some of these are very badly written, and you don't actually find them because you find them, or because you used a device to find them. You find them because their software crashed, and because their software didn't run correctly and choked it. And that's usually their weakest point. If they spend a little more time in QA, those things could be a lot harder to find.
Definitely, I hear you. Yeah, I've got to go to my email now because I forgot my QRZ password. Shame on me. It tells you how many times I've been in it.
I understand. I finally got one of those little passbook programs that has pretty high security, and I put all my passwords in that. You can't remember them.
Let's try something here. I think the last time I used my control copy command, I was copying it. So. Let me see if that's there. Hold on a minute. Nah, it's not. I'll be on the side here. I gotta navigate here a little bit. 87DAW.
No problem. I'm just sitting here doing paperwork. It's too wild.
Oh, it's K1RFD at K1RFD.com. That's easy. Did you get that, Tom? Well, so you still welcome back?
He was QFY to the keyboard, so he'll be back in a couple of minutes.
All right. Anyway, if you catch him, it's K1RFD at K1RFD.com.
All right, got it. K1RFD.com. I'll remember that, so I won't send the email.
All right, there you go. I think it's time for me to go to sleep. Backstage of the computer is going to go to sleep now.
I understand. Do we get Newsline tonight? Well, I can tell you the clock is right because the repeater is shut down. You had no RF on your last transmission. Affirmative. We hear you, and probably the folks in Selden hear you. When the repeater is in this condition, what key on my software turns it back on? I understand. You don't love me anymore. That's okay. Eric, we've got to work on your sense of humor. I'm booting the software up right now. Let's see what we can do. Oops, sorry about that. Didn't unkey the repeater. Let's try the repeater on function.
An error has occurred.
Didn't like that.
Okay, let's try a different button. That was the big green button, so that had a lot of stuff in it. That was probably the links that were complaining about. They're already linked, and we just tried to relink them.
Morning. The time is 1:02 a.m.
That's the one.
Okay, that's the repeater on function in the super user mode. So, what do I call that in my software? Supposedly it says it turns on both transmit and receive. So I assume at that point we just have the transmitter turned off, the receiver is still working because I was able to hear you.
Yeah, we in essence don't ever turn the receiver off. But I can tell you it's the 904 off and the 905 is the on, so what that does is it tells the repeater to go out, the controller to go out of the repeater mode, or go into the repeater mode.
Yes, affirmative. The key error, the button that I pushed, set out a 10905.
Yeah, and the 04 is the opposite.
Okay. Do you feel like it hit the go button for, Newsline. Oh, also, does Newsline still hang up when you hit go? Not hang up as in disconnect, but does it still hold the command prompt when you hit go?
Well, you have an ampersand at the end of it, so it just comes, your thing comes right back. I just rewrote it so nobody can step on it.
Okay, I'll have to check. I don't know if I have that ampersand or not in my software.
Well, the last one that I saw Richie punch sure has it.
Okay, then it does. I told you, that's it. When I get out of the loop, my mind somehow erases. I'm not sure going to Dayton was a good thing. When I landed back here in New York, I forgot everything from New York.
All right, well, if you look at the past record, you'll see it's there. So unless you didn't put it in your version and it's just in his version, then, you know, that might be the case, but I don't think so. I don't think you'd do that.
Negative. Everybody has the same version. When I make an update and I distribute the update, then anybody that runs the software gets that updated version.
Yeah, well, the only bad thing about it is you can't interrupt it, but, you know, you have to know how. I mean, I can give you a sequence of instructions on how, but, you'd have to just look for a particular string, that's all, and then extract a number from it.
If you get a chance, send me an email with that protocol, and I think I know what you're talking about, that basically we'd need to dump a list of all the running processes, and then grep through that to find the process that is the one we want, and then delete that process. Isn't that difficult. It's actually pretty simple. So, if you could just send me that in writing so I can sit down and think about it and then work on it.
Yeah, I can cause the process monitor to extract just a string, look for a particular string, and you can count the spaces and extract the number and then run a call command.
Yeah, no problem. In fact, it's even easier than that. I just capture the whole response to the process list. I capture that into a string buffer, find the substring of what I'm looking for, and then grab the next X characters after that and convert that into a number. So those are all pretty easy functions to do in the .NET world.
Yeah, well, it's a computer. You can, you know, extract something out of a huge table if you want, but I'm just saying I can make it so you just get a line in response. You don't have to go searching through anything.
I understand. Whichever one is easiest for you, just send me whichever one you decide on.
Okay. All right, I'm going to tell you what. Why don't you shut the repeater off, and then I'll play a news one.
For some reason, the internet is slow up there. Everybody on that subnet must be doing a lot of updates tonight.
The time is 1:07 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2L.
Okay, repeater is off. Tom, down in Florida, we're about to play Newsline. If you want to hear it, stick around. If not, watch your ears, it's coming. Oh, in that case, sorry, Tom, we're about to bail out on you. Have a great evening. Have a great holiday. Holidays. You've got a couple of days off. So we'll hear you around sometime in the drive world. Have a great holiday, and we'll catch you later. KTYO clear.
Okay, if you're
going to
play Newsline, I'll listen to it here. KD7BAW.
Negative, you will not hear it there. We don't rebroadcast it over the link. We keep it local on the RF. Most of the guys with links get kind of a little pissy about when we start sending audio out into their system.
Okay, QSL, gotcha. Hi, Bernie, take care. You have a good one there, and I was stationed with Captain, I forgot his name, 73U2, and we'll catch you all later on. 87DAW, we're going to be clear. Have a good Memorial Day.
Amateur Radio Newsline Report Number 1711, with the release date of Friday, May 28, 2010. The following 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Ham radio heads to the planet Venus aboard Unitech 1, but for the moment the signal has faded away. Also, the first ever U.S. license tests are held in India. And lots more on Hamvention 2010. Enjoy being there with us on Amateur Radio Newsline Report Number 1711, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now from Charleston, West Virginia, with Jim Dameron, NATMW. I'm Jeff Clark, K8JAC. Unitech 1 space probe is on its way to Venus, and ham radio is along for the ride. But the ham radio transponder on board the spacecraft hasn't been heard from in several days. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, is in the newsroom with more.
Unitech 1 is a one-of-a-kind experimental satellite that was developed by 20 educational institutions that are part of Japan's University Space Engineering Consortium. This is a cooperative working on the development of so-called nanosatellites for Japan. What makes this mission of particular interest to ham radio is that Unitech 1 carries a 5 GHz amateur radio beacon that signs the call JQ1ZUN, and it has already been heard from space. On May 21st, ground stations in Japan reported receiving both the CW and FSK beacon telemetry from the spacecraft when it was about 320,000 kilometers from Earth. They reported a measured frequency of 5.839.91 gigahertz, which is very close to the previously published 5.840 gigahertz planned frequency for the mission. Then, at 1900 UTC, spacecraft controllers lost the signal from Unitech 1. They could still hear the Planet C and Icarus telemetry transponders. They're on 8.4 gigahertz, but not the 5.84 gigahertz signal from Unitech 1. Further attempts to reacquire Unitech on subsequent days have so far proved unsuccessful. Unitech 1 controllers are encouraging hams worldwide to attempt to receive the spacecraft's amateur radio beacons and report back their observations More information on this deep space project is available at the University Space Engineering Consortium website, HISS in cyberspace at www.unisec.jp/unitet-1. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ICF, in the newsroom in the City of Angels.
The launch of Unitech 1 took place on Thursday, May 20, from the Takashima Space Center in Japan. We'll have more AB Radio space-related news later in this week's report.
The first ever U.S. amateur radio exam session in India was scheduled to be held May 24th in the city of Hyderabad under the auspices of an ARRLVECG. Technician, general, and amateur extra were to have been administered during this session. With growing interest by hams living outside the United States in holding a U.S. license, a report from the Southgate News indicates that ARRLVEC test sessions are being conducted in Canada, Brazil, Germany, Japan, Mexico, Panama, the Philippines, Italy, Trinidad and Tobago, and other locations around the globe. More information concerning U.S. ham radio exams in India is online at tinyurl.com/2G9NJPA.
The question pool committee of the National Conference of Volunteer Examiner Coordinators, or MCVEC, has announced the withdrawal of 4 questions, 2 from the technician class pool, 2 from the extra class pool. Amateur Radio Newsline's Bruce Tennant, K6PZW, has details.
According to a May 25th bulletin released by the American Radio Relay League, the 2 technician questions dealt with emergency communications and Section 97.113 of the FCC's rules governing amateur radio participation in emergency training drills. As most listeners already know, back in March, the FCC released a notice of proposed rulemaking in WB Docket number 1072 that proposes to amend Section 97.113 to provide that, under certain limited conditions, amateur radio operators may transmit messages during emergency and disaster preparedness practice sessions. This regardless of whether the operators are employees of entities participating in the drill. The bulletin notes the National Conference of Volunteer Examiner Coordinators believes that adoption of the NPRM appears more likely than not. This, the NCVEC says, will make the 2 questions dealing with the subject invalid. Therefore, the group feels it's best to withdraw the questions now to avoid the possible inclusion of invalid information in training materials now being prepared. As to the 2 deleted extra class exam questions, they dealt with third-party restrictions as defined in Section 97.109E of the rules. The FCC has since deleted this rule, so the information is no longer applicable to the amateur radio service. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bruce Tennant, K6PZW in Los Angeles.
The 4 questions not to be used after June the 30th are T2C02 and T2C03 from the July 2010 technician pool. And questions E1C04 and E1C05 from the July 2008 extra pool. The ARRL bulletin notes that volunteer examiner coordinators and volunteer examiners must take action to remove these questions from use in their exams given after July 1.
The FCC has denied a petition for reconsideration filed by Glenn Zook, K9STH, that asked for changes in Part 97. This in regard to how often United States hams must identify themselves on the air. The May 18th action follows the Commission's denial of Zook's April 2009 petition for rulemaking. At that time, K9STH asked the Commission to amend Section 97.119A to change how often amateur stations must identify themselves. He specifically asked that the FCC require that an amateur radio station transmit its call sign during the first transmission of any communication or series of transmissions, and to allow an amateur station to not transmit its call at the end of the communication when the communication or series of transmission lasts less than 3 minutes. In denying his reconsideration request, the FCC stated that Zook's petition did not demonstrate that the current station ID rule is inadequate, nor did he prove that revising the station identification requirement as requested would address the concern that many amateur radio operators do not identify their station in a timely manner or at all. The FCC also noted that in response to Zook's 2006 petition, that many who commented believe that the current station ID rule properly balances the burden of requiring the station to transmit its call sign with the convenience of those receiving the transmission to determine the identity of the station making the transmission.
Two legislators have said they'll begin a process to modernize telecommunications laws that were last overhauled in 1996 with more of an emphasis on the Internet. In a joint statement on Monday, May 24, Senator John D. Rockefeller of here in West Virginia and Representative Harry A. Waxman of California said they'll hold meetings in June to examine how the Communications Act meets current needs of consumers, the telecommunications industry, and the Federal Communications Commission. The issue comes into focus in April after a federal appeals court ruled that the FCC had overstepped its authority in applying a portion of the Communications Act to an Internet service provider in a case dealing with so-called net neutrality. Net neutrality is the concept that Internet service providers must afford consumers with equal access to all types of content and applications. In response, the FCC announced a plan to reclassify broadband Internet service, which is now lightly regulated as an information service. Under that change, it would become a telecommunications service and will become under tighter scrutiny by the FCC. This reclassification would give the FCC the authority to implement portions of its recently released National Broadband Plan, as well as to enforce net neutrality. No matter what the outcome of the Rockefeller and Waxman hearings, don't look for any changes to the Communications Act to happen anytime soon. It took more than 5 years to produce the 1996 rewrite, and in itself was the first major change of overall United States telecommunications law since the Communications Act became law way back in 1934. For those not aware, Senator Rockefeller is the chairman of the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee. Representative Waxman is the chairman of the House Committee on Energy and Commerce. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline. Heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the KM6DF repeater serving Santa Maria, California.
The FCC has denied a request from Lonnie Keeney, the ex-KB9RFO, in which he asked the regulatory agency for reconsideration of the order of revocation issued to him on February 25, 2009. The FCC says the revocation order was based on a determination by the FCC that Keeney lacks the requisite character qualifications to be and remain a commission licensee based on a prior felony conviction for child molestation. In his reconsideration request, Keeney asked that he be permitted to keep his amateur radio license. In support of his position, he stated he has no money to defend himself at a hearing, that his license is important to him, and that he previously used his amateur station to provide services to his community. He also stated he participates as a volunteer in a jail ministry and that he is trying to rebuild his reputation in the face of a lifelong requirement to register as a sex offender. But in its denial, the FCC says that Keeney has provided no newly discovered facts or information that would, in the public interest, warrant reconsideration of the order of revocation. It says that the information Keeney presents in his petition for reconsideration is of the kind that was already presented to the administrative law judge and described in the revocation order. The FCC also notes that, even assuming that Keeney did present a basis for reversing the order of revocation, that the relief to which he would be entitled would be a new hearing proceeding on his qualification, not as he seeks authority to keep his amateur radio license. As such, the FCC says that the petition for reconsideration filed by Lonnie Keeney on March 17, 2009, is denied.
Members of the New Zealand Amateur Radio Emergency Corps provided communications during a search for two lost hunters lost in the bush. The New Zealand Stuff website reports that the two hunters went missing in a rugged mountain range, triggering an all-out search to find them. Involved in the hunt were local police, along with search and rescue volunteers from area hiking and hunting clubs. Members of the New Zealand Amateur Radio Emergency Corps provided communications. Senior Sergeant Luke Shatbolt of Hastings said the men were found on a nearby road after the hunters suffered an uncomfortable night in the bush. The full story is online at tinyurl.com/25EXRZ6. KFZW says that anyone can now listen to D-Star ham radio contacts without purchasing any equipment for the mode. This is a D-Star audio feed now available via RadioReference.com's website. Here's an example of just how good it sounds.
If you come back or if you're still on here, I just wondered, is WARTL, is that linked to any of the reflectors? Has any idea?
Right now I have it linked to the reflector one. It's W8RTL has got a gateway on it, so I guess I can link to pretty much anything. Go ahead.
The audio usually originates from reflector 1C, which is generally the busiest feed. A direct link is in this week's printed Newsline report. After you find the correct radio reference page, to scroll to the bottom, look for the D-Star link, and click on the speaker icon to start listening. KF4ZW adds that you can also listen to any of these feeds via your iPhone or BlackBerry, as long as you have an unlimited data plan.
Some names in the news. From the UK comes word that Steve Daniels, G6UIM, has joined the Paper Aircraft Released into Space, or PARIS project. The PARIS project plan is for a paper aircraft named Vulture 1 to be released this summer from a weather balloon that will carry it to over 30 kilometers in altitude. G6UIM, who built his first computer in 1979, has been working on the main payload radio beacon as well as the Vulture 1 GPS on board. Plans call for J2FT817 to be used to receive the signal. The Southwest Ohio DX Association has announced this year's DXpedition of the Year and a Special or DXpeditioner of the Year award. The 2010 DXpedition of the Year award went to K4M Midway Atoll Operation, while this year's Special award was presented to the TX-3A Chesterfield Island team. Presentations were made at the recent 2010 DX banquet held in conjunction with the Hamvention in Dayton, Ohio.
Software-defined radio was one of the big highlights at the recently concluded Dayton Hamvention. And we're not just talking about gear on the exhibit floor. The fact that SDR, as it's come to be called, was a high priority with a good number of those attending the technical sessions, as we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Mark Abramovich, NT3B.
When it comes to being on the ground floor of digital communication, few do it better than the Tucson Amateur Packet Radio Group. Scotty Cowling, WA2DFI, is Tampa's vice president and working to promote the next best thing in amateur radio, high-performance, software-defined radio. Cowling says while many people still think of Tampa as a packet organization because of the name, it has come a long way from where it once stood in the 1980s. Now, Cowling says, the group's aim is to promote research and development to advance the state-of-the-art of digital communication.
Packet, I mean, it's still there, obviously, but I think I've seen it evolve from a novelty like keyboards linking back and forth to backbones across the country to basically the foundation for APRS, which is another thing that I really got into. It's useful for that. But I see the future of digital radio is moving on. I mean, digital radio is the future rather than packet radio. And not for the little packet radio, but I mean, we're for advancing the state of the art. And, you know, software-defined radio is a big part of that.
What is software-defined radio? Cowling says it's where the actual mode selection demodulation is done in software, not in radio hardware. Points out that it's different from a software-controlled radio, which is a conventional radio that might have some digital signal processing in it, but is sent commands to do various operations, switch bands, switch modes, and switch filters. Essentially, Calvin says, the operation of the radio and capability of adapting to new modes is tremendous, because the new modes are defined in its software.
So you can take the same old hardware you paid your good money for 5 years ago, and now when they come out with PSK32, it's just a software upgrade, and then you don't have to worry about, well, where am I going to get the next $2,000 to buy a new radio?
And coming out is the next generation of HP-SDR may not be for everyone.
Some people just can't deal with no knobs, but I think if you use it, you will find that it will grow on you, and you will adapt to it, just like you adapted to using your SD-1000 over your, you know, 940.
But he says a lot of people are out there playing around with software-defined radios. They're excited about the future.
Some of the people are contesters who want absolute high performance. Most of the people that Tapper deals with are experimenter types. Software guys, hardware guys, guys that are excited about something new in ham radio that maybe they haven't seen anything new for years. It's kind of where I'm coming from. It's something that's exciting now where there hasn't been a lot other than the same old for a long time.
For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mark Abramovitz, NT3V, reporting from the Dayton Convention.
Mark's back next week with another look at the specialty interest that was big at Hamvention 2010. A facet of the hobby that uses small radios and low